Hello and welcome to the next episode in the Dive and Dig News Podcast. My name is Dr. Lucy Blue and I represent the Honor Frost Foundation, a charity that focuses on developing maritime archaeology in the Eastern Mediterranean. And this week we're going to the Mediterranean, in fact to the island of Malta, where I talk to my colleague Dr. Timmy Gambin, who has put together a really exciting exhibition in the National Archaeological Museum on the island, and he's about to tell us why this exhibition is so important.
One of the biggest challenges of this project, you know, of the excavation of the Phoenician shipwreck, is that this site is situated at a depth of 110 meters. So even if we did want to make it accessible to the public, you know, that we deemed it safe from looting and safe from further damage, there are very few people in the world that can actually dive down to 110 meters. So the idea here was, let's start thinking of different ways that we can take the site to the people rather than people to the site. In the past, we've had, you know, other initiatives such as placing the Phoenician shipwreck on underwatermalta.org. That's the virtual museum of underwater archaeology of the Maltese Islands. We do large outreach programs that include 360 films, talks to dive clubs, archaeological societies, and so on. So we're trying to reach various strata of society. And the idea behind this small exhibition is that, you know, we've got enough interesting artifacts. We've got, you know, some fantastic data related to the methodologies that we use to excavate at those depths and so on. We've packaged it. It's a small exhibition, and I'll come back to why we decided to go small. And we were, you know, extremely lucky that Heritage Malta offered to host this exhibition at the National Museum of Archaeology, which is bang in the middle of Malta's capital, Valletta.
I mean, you talk about these different ways of communicating the importance and the significance of the shipwreck. Why is it important to do that? I mean, why do we need the public on our side? Why do they need to, you know, why do they need to know? I'm sure they do. But
we need the public on our side for a very simple reason. Projects or other projects, this and other projects, are supported by, or in part supported by, taxpayers' money. So the Honor Frost Foundation has very generously supported this project over the past 5 years. But we've had, you know, other support from local government agencies, which is essentially they're dishing out. They're choosing to invest taxpayers' money in our project. And I feel very strongly that, yes, it's important to publish academically. We believe very, very strongly, and this is something that, you know, the foundation shares our belief, and we share your belief in reaching out to the general public, because A, we owe it to them. We owe the general public this kind of give back, okay, to the community. And also, we feel that the story we have to tell, and I'm not saying this specifically for the Phoenician shipwreck, it could be even a shipwreck datable to World War I, you know, somewhere in the Baltic or in the North Sea. But the stories these shipwrecks have to tell deserve to reach the general public. So, you know, when you combine interesting artifacts, photographs and videos of scenes that people do not get to see on a daily basis because they're underwater, they're, you know, protected sites and whatnot, then I think we can put these ingredients together and capture an audience that we would otherwise not capture.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I mean, because maritime archaeology is essentially out of sight and out of mind, and, you know, bringing that, basically, essentially bringing the objects alive, bringing them literally in some cases to the surface and showing the excitement of what they tell us in terms of our past, our maritime past, I think it's really important. And it's exciting, and people get excited when they hear about, you know, the objects. I mean, for example, let's remind our listeners, for those that haven't heard you speak before, you know, what the significance of this ship is.
It's First of all, the oldest shipwreck in the central Mediterranean to date, it dates to 700 BC. Of course, this can be superseded tomorrow if a new discovery is made, and it would be very welcome, because the more shipwrecks we have from this period, the more information we can get. But this particular period in time in Mediterranean history, which so the academics refer to as the Archaic period, is an extremely important phase. There are people moving out of the eastern Mediterranean, both out of mainland Greece, or what we know today as mainland Greece, out of what is today Lebanon, and these people are moving. The Greeks are also moving eastwards into the Black Sea, but mainly the Phoenicians out of present-day Lebanon and Israel are moving westwards towards Sicily, towards places in North Africa like Libya. So our shipwreck gives us a glimpse as to what the earliest generations of these migrants were up to with regard to networks, trade networks, family networks, and so on. And I believe, very importantly, these people were not just traveling themselves in a vacuum, but they were also bringing with them ideas, tastes for things like wine, tastes for things like exotic goods. So again, we can start to better understand how aspects such as the typical Mediterranean diet, olive oil, wine, how these sort of took root in the Mediterranean. There are multifaceted aspects that are of interest. Maybe I can say, with a bit of a cliche, something that, you know, for everybody's taste.
The artifacts themselves are obviously a number of amphora that you've mentioned before, but presumably are you finding foodstuffs and that sort of thing to indicate diet, or what are the things that actually you've located, or presumably some of these are on display that give you those insights?
So currently on display we have two or three amphorae. We've got a very high-end mushroom lip jug, which was made, you know, to carry ointments of a certain standing, or for people of a certain social standing. But and then we also have, you know, these grinding stones that were cut on the island of Pantelleria. There are about 50 of them. So they are very basic domestic goods, so to speak. Grinding stones used to make flour, you know, cut from basaltic rock. So there's everything from the mundane, everyday, so to speak, to the exotic. And in between, the vast majority of objects being carried were made to carry foodstuff. So we're doing some analysis on the inside of these amphorae, and the initial indications are that they were carrying, some of them were carrying wine. What we do have from the shipwreck, but are not currently on display because they've only recently been brought up, are cooking pots, and they're used cooking pots. So my suspicion is that these belong to the crew. So maybe in a future exhibition, definitely in future publications, we hope to shed light on what the crew members themselves were cooking and eating whilst travelling.
So Timmy, if you had to choose, what would be your favourite object?
Currently on display, there is a large ceramic piece which is, you know, too big to be a traditional urn. It's got horizontal handles, so we can't really classify it as an amphora. So we found nothing in published literature. So this is a previously unknown piece, and it seems to be a hybrid between what existed before, so the ceramic typologies of the indigenous people, with influence from the outside, with Phoenician influence. So it's a beautiful piece that shows the integration between those that already lived on the island and the newcomers. And to me, it's also reflective of the peaceful amalgamation of these two peoples.
So the exhibition is not running for too long, I don't think, is it? I think by the time I get to Malta later in the year, it will have been over. But are you seeing high visitor numbers? Is it something that's popular on the island?
The exhibition is open till the end of June, The great thing about the way that this conference, this exhibition is organized, is that although it is housed inside the National Museum of Archaeology, one does not have to buy a ticket to go and visit it. It is, there is a same entrance into the main foyer of the NMA, of the National Museum of Archaeology, but and then a separate section and entrance is free. So there is something for everybody, including a 3D printed model, which is 1:11 scale. We've used this model before for outreach programs with the visually impaired, and now we've given it a place in the exhibition, and people can really, really picture, visualize and picture what the site is actually like.
So is it a model of the site, or is it a sort of model of what you think the ship would have been like when it was traveling?
That's a great question. No, it's a model of the site, I believe, after the 2018 excavation. So you can actually see an imprint of the 2x4 meter trench that we started, some amphorae, which are, you know, some voids where amphorae once stood. So we wanted to give the viewer an idea of what the site is like, what the site is like during works, and although we have somebody researching the shape of the ship, we are not advanced enough to present anything concrete at this point in time. So we'd rather wait for another occasion for that.
No, that makes sense. I think that's a really lovely thing to, you know, because again, going back to that thing about access for most people, to get a sense of what it's like to be on the actual seabed, particularly, I mean, obviously 110 meters deep is probably something harder to sort of reimagine.
Even if people do dive, it's very rare to actually have an entire site that is completely well, you know, lit up properly and visible, you know, or to have a site visible in its entirety. So yeah. to put it in a more clear way. So the idea of having this model facilitates the individual who you know, we don't need to explain. Look, you can't see the site even if you are diving, and you know, in its entirety. So here it is. They see it, and they understand it. They get it straight away.
Oh, that sounds so interesting. I really wish I could go, but regrettably, the exhibition only runs through to the end of June. So you need to get your skates on if you want to go and see it. Thanks again to Timmy, and I really hope you enjoyed this, our latest news piece from the Honor Frost Foundation, and I hope you'll tune in again to listen to the next one. Take care. Cheers. Bye.